Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hello, hello, and welcome to Joyful Eating episode number 110. So today we're going to be talking about why I started taking diabetes medication. But before we get to that, the best bite I had this week, so my Irishman, for a long time, he's been making butter chicken or like tandoori chicken, where he like marinates chicken and then either cooks it in the wood-fired oven or on the barbecue and then serves it with like a butter chicken curry sauce. And so he made it on the weekend, but this time he like just freestyled. He didn't look at any recipes. He just used like his muscle memory for his tandoori chicken, and it was so amazing. It was just like the chicken was so succulent, like the spicing was just spot on and it was just like so delicious. And we were both like, oh, we wish there was more of it. And we served it with, the boys had fried rice. And then I also made like an iceberg lettuce salad. So just like with an old school iceberg lettuce, cut it into really thin wedges and put that on the plate, and then made a dressing with one of my favorite dressings actually. So it's just like half mayonnaise and half yogurt. So, you know, 50-50, like one spoon of each, mix it together, or a couple of spoons, depending on how much salad you're making, and then drizzle that over with some roast almonds. And it wasn't like a traditional Indian dish, but it went really well with the rich chicken. Like having that crunchy salad to go with was so, so yummy. So yes, I am very lucky. My Irishman is an amazing cook as well. Okay, so plan for today is, I thought I'd share the story behind this episode, as I like to do, why I'm doing it, why I'm telling you this episode. And then I'm going to talk about like why I decided to start taking medication. And then we'll talk about how to know if you are insulin resistant yourself, if that's something that should be investigating, and what to do if you think you are. And I've got a bonus tip for you. So me and diabetes. So I actually, way back in my early 30s, I was diagnosed with PCOS, and I didn't really know what that meant at the time, or that it was linked to insulin resistance, or I didn't know anything about blood sugar or all those sorts of things. But anyway, then fast forward. So when I was like in my late 30s, I was trying to get pregnant. One thing with PCOS is that you have really irregular cycles. And one thing I don't know why I made this connection, but yeah, like people with PCOS tend to have diabetes and tend to have blood sugar issues. So it's like, right, there must be a link there between all the hormones. And so I just experimented with eating lower carb. And I think at the time it was paleo, I called it paleo, whatever. And the thing that I found was when I like reduced my carb intake, my cycles, like they weren't ever like, you know, on the clock regular, but rather than it being like, you know, 40, 60 days, I could get it down to, you know, 30 days in that range, which if you're trying to conceive, is just like makes a huge difference. So yeah, just by changing my diet, I found that I was able to get regular cycles, which is, you know, a good sign. And also just like from a weight management perspective, it made it a lot easier. And then I was able to have two children naturally by doing that, which was, you know, amazing, particularly because I was like 40 when I had Fergal and 43 when I had Finbar. So I feel very blessed that I discovered that for myself and actually implemented it. And then when I was pregnant with my second Finbar, I actually was diagnosed with gestational diabetes, which I wasn't in my first, but I was probably, I don't know why, I probably should have been for my first as well. But anyway, so that was like really brought onto my radar that, yeah, I do have a problem with blood sugar control. And then after the pregnancy, that second pregnancy, they do a follow-up test if you've had gestational diabetes. And normally blood sugar regulation goes back to normal, but mine actually got worse, which is kind of unusual, but it does happen. So like over the last, like that was Finbar 7 now. So like that was 7 years ago. So I decided to manage my diabetes like with my diet, which I was very effective at doing, like no issues with my blood sugar levels. Like I would get them tested regularly. Occasionally I'd wear a continuous glucose monitor just to keep on top of it. But I found that like it was really easy for me to just eat low carb, and like that kept everything under control. And that was going really well. But in the last couple of years, a couple of things happened. And one was just, I have a goal to live to be 122, and that sounds really crazy. So I'm super interested in longevity and, you know, reading on the research and what's going on in that space, in the longevity space. And there's a lot of people in the longevity, you know, research sphere who are actually taking metformin, even though their blood sugar is normal. They actually take this blood sugar medication, metformin, because it has other benefits as well for longevity. And so I was thinking about, oh, maybe that's something that I could consider. And actually, backtrack, when I was first diagnosed with PCOS, I did take metformin. My doctor prescribed metformin, and I did take that for a year. And it did, it didn't do anything for my cycle or for any of that. But yeah, so I had taken it, so I knew it was fine. Like, I was fine taking it. And so that just got me thinking that, oh, maybe I could. And also, I guess the thing is, like, being on my journey of being a naturally healthy person and helping, like, people change their relationship with food, I've actually, you know, was thinking that, yeah, I could keep eating the way I was eating forever. But there were some things that I wasn't eating because of the carb thing that I missed, like chickpeas and lentils and, you know, some of the grain, like whole grains, like farro and freekah. And I was like, it's not like I need to have them and I want to be having them all the time. But I was like, you know, if I was taking metformin, then that would give me a little bit more wiggle room on the blood sugar front. I wouldn't need to be as on top of it for like my carb intake. And I was like, yeah, okay. So I decided to do an experiment last year and I started taking it. And first of all, we kind of have this idea that medication is bad and that we should be avoiding taking medication. But when I was thinking about, you know, that there are people taking this particular drug for longevity reasons, and I was like, you know, actually there's a time and place for everything. And you know, maybe it would be more helpful for me to do this rather than being all like, definitely no to medication. There's no shame in taking meds. And like, we are really fortunate that we have modern medicine. And it's not all bad. So yeah, it just got me thinking about it. I decided to do an experiment. And I have to tell you, like, since I started taking it last year, probably be about 6 months ago now. Yeah, I feel really good. I haven't like completely changed my diet, but I have started having hummus and chickpeas occasionally. And I've been having my ice cream every week as well. And there's no side effects. Oh, there were actually the first week when I started taking it, some people get this like really metallic taste in your mouth. And I had that for like the whole week. And I was like, I don't know if this is worth it, but I pushed food through and it's gone now. So the one thing that I have noticed is that like my cycle is, since I've started taking it, has been even more regular than it was previously prior to taking it, which is great because, you know, given I'm 50, we're in that stage where the cycles can go a bit crazy. So I'm finding that it's helpful for that. And there is a link between all the hormones and definitely insulin and the sex hormones as well. So that if you can keep your insulin under control, then I think that really helps with, you know, menopause symptoms as well. So, because I really don't have any, like, okay, get the occasional hot flush, like maybe once a month, and that's it. So I'm finding that it's like really beneficial from that perspective as well. It feels good to be able to be a little bit more relaxed with my diet. So that's why I decided to start taking metformin, why I'm continuing to take it. So enough about me. Actually, my dad has a joke. He was like, enough about me. What do you think of me? No, enough about me. Like, what about you? Like, so just thinking about like this question, like, are you insulin resistant? And there's a really easy way to tell. And first of all, if your cycle is irregular, that could be one thing to assign. But the easiest way to tell if you're insulin resistant or you have blood sugar control issues is that when you put on weight, like, does it go on around your tummy or does it go around your butt and your thighs? And if you're insulin resistant, the weight goes on around your tummy. It's no speaking from experience. So that's a really easy way. And so what do you do if you suspect that you are? Well, I really would recommend like just going to see a doctor and get tested. Like, just say, hey, this is on my mind. You know, can I get my blood sugar tested? And what you want to get tested, like, a doctor will do this anyway, because there's different tests you can do, but there's one called HbA1c, which stands for hemoglobin A1c. And it gives you, like, because there's different tests, but this one is great because it gives you like an average of what your blood sugar has been like over the previous 3 months. So it's kind of gives you a bigger picture shot rather than some one, like your fasting blood sugar is just what it happens to be on that day. And that can be impacted by what you ate the previous night or whether you've exercised and all those sorts of things. So get tested because, yeah, like knowledge is power. And when you know that something is an issue for you, then you're able to do something about it. And if you are, you know, maybe it is something that you would consider taking some medication for or like looking at changing your diet. And if you do decide that you like would like to like manage it with diet, like don't have to go keto or anything crazy like that where you swear off carbs forever. And I actually highly recommend not doing that because unless you have a very strong reason, like just that restrictive nature, like you can do it for a while, but it's very rare that people can stick to that forever. And particularly if you love food, it's just no fun. So what to do instead is just be really mindful of carbs. So rather than having rice and pasta having cereal for breakfast, sandwich for lunch and pasta for dinner, like just making choices where you're having like more protein and also being really conscious of your serving sizes. So if you are having rice, like rather than just ordering a curry and rice, maybe ordering a veggie stir fry as well. And so having more of the veggies, more of the protein in the curry and less of the rice. So just being really mindful of portion sizes is great because then you're still having rice if you love rice, but you're not, the amount that you have has a huge impact on blood sugar. So like a small amount of rice is very different from having like bowls and bowls of the stuff. So that would be my tip. Just be mindful of your portion sizes and also be mindful of the frequency and just think about, you know, what would feel good to you. Like, do you need to be having bread every day or would, having bread a couple of times a week work better for you? So you can work that in. Yeah. So that was my actually bonus tip that I didn't label as a bonus tip of just this idea of how to experiment with low carb, because the most important thing is, and I think the reason why I've been successful managing my diabetes with eating low carb is my mindset around it. And it wasn't like someone told me that I had to do it and like, I'm feeling like, oh, poor me, I have to avoid carbs. It was like me being proactive in like, I want to do this. So my mindset. And so if you are going to do this, you want to just check your mindset of not, I should do this or I have to do this. It's like, I want to do this. And then also not seeing like, oh, poor me, I can't have potatoes and rice. Like seeing it as like, I get to choose what I have. And also like really celebrating, like there's so much amazing, delicious food that is not carbohydrate based. Think of cheese, think of, like all the amazing sauces and things. So like approaching it from that mindset is really, really makes a difference to how you feel about it. And then because what we don't want is we don't want you to feel restricted, because if you're feeling like you're feeling restricted and it's like, not fair, I can't have these things, then that just builds the desire for them. Whereas if you approach it from, yeah, I can have them, but I don't really want them, like that's a completely different feeling. And you can be doing that for years, which I have been doing for years. So that's my bonus tip for you. Just be really conscious of the mindset around and the thoughts, the stories that you're telling yourself around your dietary choices. Okay, so that's it for today. So a bit of a personal one, sharing what's going on for me at the moment. And I have a favor before I go. So if you're enjoying the podcast, please, you know, tell your sister, tell your brother, tell your best friend about Joyful Eating, because the more people that are having a healthy relationship with food, that are finding peace and joy in food rather than it being like this awful, awful place for them, like the more pleasure that we have around and joy that we have with food, that's more pleasure and joy in the world, which makes the world a better place. So I would love it if you just shared the podcast with them. Okay, have a beautiful week and I will catch you next week. Bye. Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.